Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Good morning. It's amazing how many people come after eight. I looked around at eight and it was empty. I thought they heard I was coming. They stayed home. Hey, so good to be here at Beacon again. So many people here. I sort of like home away from home, us being in Beacon. My wife, Terry, by the way, apologises for not coming. She was up and ready this morning, but she had a rather tumultuous night, not well. So she just didn't feel she could do it at the last minute. So she says hi, and we're going to have a fantastic morning. How many people have just been blessed already? Are there some to worship? You know, I mean, coming together on a Sunday, hey. I mean, I don't know about you, but in worship, just centers me again. With all the turmoil that's going on in the world and all the stuff, just so you know, and a lot of you may know, may not know, Josiah said that, you know, I'm part of the INC denomination. I'm on the national executive. I work with half of this church up at, I tell you what, talk about favor. I mean, Az and Beck get all the people in this place jobs in our denomination. And so I come here, it's like going to work. I mean, Michaela, every day, the poor lady, you know, I get busy with calls and all that, and I say, I'm dying for a coffee, I've got to have a coffee, so she's my supplier. I come to church this morning and she supplies me coffee already. I'm coming here more often. Yeah. But hey, we had a really, really unfortunate thing this week. Our national chair, Ross and Kathy Abraham, who no doubt you know, their son was in a horrific accident last week and he passed away on Wednesday. And, I tell you what, it's been such an emotional week. But I need to say this, because many of you have probably done it. I was with Ross and Kathy on Tuesday before he passed, and they said, it's almost like we can feel the prayers of people lifting us up. And, I mean, all around the world this week, because they are our national leaders, there have been people praying. And I thought to myself, I would never want to be outside the church. First and foremost, I would never want to be outside of Jesus, but I would never want to be outside of the church, because in times like that, we can stand together, we can believe God together, we can comfort one another. So would you do me a favor? Would you just pray for me, with me for a minute or two while we just believe for Ross, Kath, the family this week, and for all that God still wants to do through their lives? Father, we lift the Abraham family to you. We lift the Tweed Church to you right now. And Father, we pray again, even as we've sung this morning, that you would pour out your Spirit. Father, when they feel there is no breath left, well, I pray that you would pour more breath into them. You would pour more life into them, that they would see you move. That, Father, what has happened that appears for evil, would you turn it around and do marvelous, marvelous good as only you can do, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I pray you'd keep praying for them. I mean, those songs this morning, I'm a little bit confused. I knew some of them. How good's that awakening? How many are believing for awakening? I mean, really believing it. Not a good idea. Really believing for awakening. You know, my Bible tells me that where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And I'm believing. Yeah, how many know that there's a fair bit of stuff going on that's anti-God in this world today? You know, we've got two choices. We can bunker down and hide from it and hope Jesus comes back tomorrow. Or we can actually take the power of God and believe that he wants to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, that there would be some revival again happening. I love what was the worship team was saying this morning, is if he's done it before, he'll do it again. I read a little book. Oh, man, I've got to get on my message. I read a little book last week. If you want to take a note of it, it's called Great Southland Revival. And it's a history of what God, it's tracing a revival from Acts to the Great Southland. And it's amazing how many times we often pray for revival, but sometimes we don't recognize it. How many times God has poured his Spirit out sovereignly to get the attention of man. Do you know why? Because he loves us so much. He sees the mess the world is in. And I am believing that he's likely to just show up at any time and sovereignly pour out his Spirit to touch people, because he loves them so much. Who can believe that with me today? Let's not settle down. Let's not, this whole week, you know, we've got as our movement, we've got our 50th year conference coming up. No wonder the devil's active, eh? But man, we are just believing there is something. It's not just being excited emotionally. There's an expectation amongst us that God wants to do something sovereign in our midst. Amen? Amen. Let's not bunker down. The book of 1 Corinthians 15:45 says this, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. I want to talk this morning about the spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwelling in you and I, a life-giving spirit. Just to overview the whole thing this morning is you're not just a created being, you're called to be a life giver. You're called to make a difference in the world around about you. Adam received life. We're called to give life because when Jesus Christ came and we received him, he became a life giver to us. How many know that today? How many are believing? How many when you get up, oh man, I love the story. I will pour out my spirit. There you go. Let it be a sign. Man, I got competition here today. Wow, I noticed the stains on the roof out there. We're gonna leak today. I love pancakes. Like, I don't love pancakes actually. I shouldn't have pancakes. But the story Josiah's telling us about young people turning up at a school, they're not turning up with pancakes. Pancakes are a vehicle to bring life. Pancakes are a vehicle that they would be able to present themselves at a school where people are hurting, people are hungry, people are thirsty, people are without Christ, and we're able to, as a means of delivery, bring life to a school that doesn't know Jesus Christ. How many, when you go to work tomorrow, where you go to bowls tomorrow, where you go to wherever you go, I said that for Steve over here, my brother, Steve and Remy, old pastors in INC for many, many years, great friends. Hey, wherever we go, we got to see ourselves. Too many times, and I will speak for myself this morning, I see myself just going through the motions one week to another. Or do I see myself as one who's called to bring life to a hurting world? In the book of John chapter 4, there's a story, a well-known story. Many of you will know it. If you don't, I really encourage you to read it fully because it's a wonderful story. It's a story about, we would call it the story of the woman at the well. But in a nutshell, here's Jesus, and he's going on a journey with his disciples, and he's going through a place called Samaria, which is anti-God. And he comes to a woman. He encounters a woman at a well, and this woman is so beat up by life. She's beat up by her own waywardness. She's had multiple husbands, and the man she's now living with isn't even her husband. She's, because of that, she's been outcast from the community, so much so that she doesn't even believe she's worthy to go and draw water at the time that everybody else goes. She wants to avoid people because of the shame, because of the devastation, because of the destitution that's on her life. Do you think people in this world are like that today? Do you think people in this world are ashamed? They're destitute. They have great need in their life. The Bible would call it, as we look into this story, how many know she's thirsty? She's gone to a well to draw water. And in verses 13 and 14, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. She's gone to a natural well to drink. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. For it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. A fresh, bubbling spring. Beacon, I have a question for you this morning. How's your bubble? How's the bubble? Anyone here drunk of Christ? Two of us. We're going to have a great altar call here this morning. I can just feel it. Has anybody here drunk the water that Christ has offered? Most of us have. If you haven't this morning, there's opportunity for you to drink that water. We will give that opportunity before we finish this morning. But Jesus says, if you come and you drink of me, not only will your thirst be quenched, not only will you receive, but you will become a spring. You will become a source of life. You will become a bubbling spring. Here's the definition of a spring. It continually flows and self-replenishes. A natural spring. My wife was over in the Solomon Islands last year teaching at the Bible College up there, and she'd never been there before, and she went into Honiara, into the Bible College in the sort of remote area, and in the middle of it is a spring. And that's the source. That's the source of water for the community around about it. And it's continually flowing and it's continually self-replenishing. You know what your and my life is to look like? Continually flowing and self-replenishing. To replenish ourselves, to have our own thirst quenched, but to not just be ones that are quenched ourselves, but to see ourselves as a source of life for those around about us. I wonder sometimes if people looked at Gary's life, if they think it's a good spring. Sometimes it looks like a swamp. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not like people in the Redlands. I live at the Gold Coast, you know. Sometimes. But I look at this and I'm challenged. Because Jesus says, if you've drunk my water, I've called you to be a spring. And I find, as I said about springs, they're continually flowing, but sometimes I find that mine gets blocked up. It gets blocked up with all sorts of stuff. It gets blocked up with the wrong things in my life. It gets blocked up with religion. It gets blocked up with negativity. It gets blocked up with even the fear. Let's just let the world to itself and hope Jesus comes back. It gets blocked up. And I believe this morning God wants us to see that we're not supposed to be blocked up. We're not supposed to just come and get refreshed on a Sunday morning. We're supposed to go from this place and see ourselves as rivers, as springs. I think God's going to untap some springs this morning. He's going to let some flow come out of our lives again. We're going to sing again before we're finished. And just let that, there's some gushes coming. I was actually laying in bed thinking about this morning, you know. I didn't write my message this morning. I was thinking about it this morning. And I'm thinking, have you ever seen, like down on the Gold Coast, my wife loves to hike. And when it's been raining like this, the falls, the photos she sends and the videos she sends of the falls just gushing. I believe that's what we're to be like. So full of the Spirit of God that we see ourselves not as outcasts, not as people that are on the sidelines of life, but people that are in the schools and in the aged care homes and in the streets and in the businesses. And we are not a source of condemning religion. We're a source of life for the people around us. Again, in John chapter 7, I think it is. John chapter 7, verses 38. It's amazing when you get a thought about water and rivers and sources of life, how much the Bible's got to say about it. On the last day, that day of the feast, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of swampland. Rivers of, not trickles, rivers of living water. Living water. Not only, he didn't just come to give us life, he came to give us a life-giving spirit. And I just know that so many things come to distract me in this world with the things that I've got to do day to day that I forget that my main purpose is of if I've drunk of Christ is to be a source of life to the world around about me. What a great privilege. What a great responsibility. But we've got to believe it. We've got to believe it. I love singing songs about the Great Awakening and a great revival. I love singing songs about go do it, God. But I think God's saying, you're a river. You're my channel. You're what I want to use to bring life to this world around us. The Bible says here on that great feast, the last day of the great feast, it's quite amazing. Jesus never said anything by accident. Or he never said anything that wasn't to be said at an opportune time. And this great feast that he talks about is the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's a week-long feast that the people of Israel would have every year. And here's the deal. It was a feast to remember what God did as he brought the people out of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years. And so what they would do is they would come together for this week-long feast and celebrate and remember all that God did. And what they would do, particularly to remember, do you remember when they come out of Egypt and they into the wilderness and there was no water? And so the people were complaining against God and against Moses because they were thirsty. And God said to Moses, go strike a rock. And what flows out of a rock is a spring. And God brought water to his people and sustained them 40 years in the wilderness. So at this feast, the people would go. The priests would go to the pool of Siloam every day. And they would get golden jugs and they would get water out of the pool of Siloam and they would empty them onto the dry ground to remember what God had done to quench the thirst of his people. Here's a religious people doing all the religious stuff but still thirsty because the things of God, the life of God apparently had departed. And Jesus looks at these people pouring water on dry ground. And then he says, hey, come, if you drink of me. Here's the one. The people are remembering where everybody drank and never thirsted. And here they are thirsting. And Jesus says, if you come to me, if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. But not only will you never thirst again, you will become a river of living water. God has used the analogy of water to resemble the life he brings to the world since creation. If you remember in creation, the Bible says there was a river that went out from Eden. And that river was the thing that God used to supply replenishment, to supply thirst-quenching water to the earth. I've already mentioned then when they came out of Egypt, he used a smitten rock to supply a stream of water that his people would not thirst. And could I say to you today that the same God wants to replenish a thirsty world today, the same as he did in the book of Genesis, the same as he did in the book of Exodus. But today the channel has changed. It's no longer a river. It's no longer a rock. It's the channel of his church that he wants to supply life to the world around about us. He says, you drink of me, and you will become a river of living water. Have a look. There's a story in the book of Ezekiel. I'm ever conscious of time when I speak. I was in Malaysia 2 weeks ago doing a conference. They don't care about time up there. It's fantastic for a preacher. When do you want me to finish? Whenever you want. Dangerous, dangerous thing. Ezekiel 47. Many of you will have seen this before, but there's just something that this passage that brings out where I want to go today about how we see ourselves, the church. Because I think, you know, if you read the paper or the newspaper, there goes my age. There's an old ball fella down here. He knows what I'm talking about. There's two old ball fellas down here. They know what I'm talking about. There's a grey one over here. These people over here in the paper. What the heck is a paper? saw a meme yesterday that said before, when we were kids, we didn't have our phones at the table. We read the back of the cereal box. How many people's, yeah. Where was I going with that? Oh, I got no idea. Where was I going? I was reading from the paper. If you read the paper, it all looks like it's bad news, doesn't it? It all looks like, and I don't watch it that much, to be honest with you. But we would get the impression that it's all hopeless. But I find that God does his best work when man's hopeless. God wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh. God wants to turn up and do something. God wants to use his power and his love and his might to touch a world in the depths of darkness. I look at all of the statistics across our movement and others. Churches were fuller this Easter than they've been for decades. People are asking questions. People are realizing they're thirsting. And we need to have our doors open. We need to have people that are full of the life of God to bring to their lives so that their thirsts are quenched. Ezekiel. Story of a temple. It's an illustration. It's a prophetic illustration of a temple. And the prophet Ezekiel is taken up and he sees this. He says, he brought me back to the door of the temple and there was water flowing under the threshold of the temple through the east. And from the front of the temple, it faced east. The water was flowing under the right side of the temple and the south side of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, led me around outside the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. I've just got a few things that I want to quickly bring to you today. If we want to see ourselves as rivers, if we want to be rivers, who wants to be a river today? Who wants to be a river? Most of the people in the church don't need a river. It's the people out there that need the river. We need to see ourselves as rivers. There's a few things in this passage, though. The first is this, is we must make sure that we're built on the spring. He says, in the ancient days, it was common, not only in God's people, but in all people of some sort of spirituality, they would build their temples on springs. And the illustration is that from under the spring flows the life. I think for too long we've thought the church is the spring. The church isn't the source of life. The church is the carrier of life. If we're going to be people who are rivers of living water, we must build our lives on the spring. I'm going to get really mixed up right now. If you haven't noticed, I've already have been this morning, But what was that song we sang about the third one? More like Jesus, something like that. Is that it? How good am I, Kate? How good am I? Wow. More like Jesus. If we want to be a river to the world, a spring to the world, we've got to make sure our own worlds are built on the life of Christ, not on religion, not on coming to church, not on seeing how good the church is, but on the very life of Christ. The book of Corinthians tells us again that if we behold him, if we build our lives on him, we will be transformed. As we're transformed, we bring a transformed life to the world around about us. I've got to ask myself, do the people who don't know Christ, when they encounter me, do they find more of Christ? Or do they find some grumpy old bloke that just is waiting for Jesus to come back? What do they find? Stop it, Paul. What do they encounter? Now, I can fake it, but in reality, I can only do that for a certain amount of time. I've got to build myself on the life of Christ. I'm not saying go and keep all the rules. Does my world reflect the person of Christ? You know what I get a bit cranky at when I look at Facebook and all those things? There's all these Christians telling the world how bad they are. I mean, they probably already know that. Our job's not to tell them how bad they are. Our job's to bring life to them. Our job is to bring Christ to them. Our job is to bring the water that if they drink of, they'll never thirst again. And I get a bit, I won't tell you the ones I read the other day. They're terrible. They're terrible. But what a great privilege and what a great responsibility it is. If we want to be the rivers, we've got to build our life on the spring. I'm glad I believe we're living in a day where the church isn't the focus anymore. The spring's the focus. Jesus is the focus. We're just the vehicle. Number two is this. It says in verse 3-5, when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters and the water came up to my ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters and the water came up to my knees. And he measured 1,000 and he brought me through and the water came up to my waist. And again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Here's the deal, church. The first thing, we've got to build it on the spring. The second thing is we've got to be prepared to get into the deep water. Nowhere does the Bible tell the world to go to church. It tells the church to go into the deep waters where the harvest is. We can come into the temple and we can experience his presence. Thank God for that. But we've got to be prepared to get into the schools. We've got to be prepared to let the world see the river that flows through us. We've got to get out there into the deep where it's messy out there. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on out there that only Jesus can heal. But you and I have got to see ourselves that we're the ones called to go into the deep. And that's where the life is. The life's where the pancakes are, I reckon. The life's where the pancakes are. Have a look. I just got a bit of a slide up here. Paul will probably laugh at this. This is me. I paddle an ocean ski I'm going to call it fun. All right. Sometimes it's life threatening, but I'm going to call it fun today. And the design of these ocean racing skis is to get out into the ocean and chase wind swell and ground swell, so that we'll go say 20 kilometers south and we will chase wind and chop. Sounds really good, hey? Don't I sound really good? Well, I'm not that good, I promise you. Here's the deal: the wind and the waves are great exhilaration, but it's a bit dangerous out there. This particular day, it's a bit hard to tell from where the camera is, but it's blowing 50 kilometers an hour that day. All week we're seeing the wind. And you know when you sit on a shore and you see all the white caps right out to sea? And I'm thinking, the boys are saying, come on, Gaz, let's go. Paul and I had a conversation this morning. You know, my first thought is, what's the worst going to happen? But anyway. But here's the deal. You got to go a couple of kilometers out to sea to get it. And I could have said, no, let's just stay in the safety of the creek. But there's no thrill in that. There's no wind in that. There's no waves in that. To actually do what we're called to do, I got to get out into the deep water. I won't tell you what happened this day. I did fall off. It was rather life-threatening, but that's okay. I'm still here. What's the worst going to happen? I could go to be with Jesus. I often come home from an adventure and my wife says, what have you done now? It's a common thing for me. We've got to be prepared to get out amongst it. And number three is simply this. It's found in the coming verses 6-12. There's lots of them, but I want you to catch the spirit. I want you to see this. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and he returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. And he said, the water flows towards the eastern region, goes down the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, the waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because the waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi and En Gleim, and they will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be the same kind of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, we will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because the water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves will be for medicine. have a listen to the purpose of the river that flows from the temple is to heal. Wherever the river flows, there will be food, there will be medicine, there will be healing. Wherever this river, whatever this river, it says when it flows into the sea, what sea is the prophet talking about? He's talking about the Dead Sea, that which is dead, that which is 400 meters of feet or something below sea level. That's where nothing lives. Church, does it look like nothing's living in the world today, spiritually? But the prophet is prophesying and he's saying, wherever this river flows, wherever this river flows, there will be life. Can you believe for a great awakening across our nation? Can you believe as the church gets hold of this, as we start to see ourselves not only a people whose thirst is quenched, but we see ourselves as people who are rivers of living water to a parched and dead world out there? And you and I are called, through pancake shakers or whatever it might be, we are called to bring life to a hurting world. That lives in you. That lives in you. This isn't something to hope for if you've drunk of Him. Come on, if you've drunk of Him today. Oh man, religion can get hold of me. Tiredness can get hold of me. Disappointment can get hold of me. God, I've been praying for revival for so many years. Don't let that keep you down. You're a river of living water. You're a channel. Do you not know? Listen, do you not know? Paul tells the church in Corinth, do you not know? I'm not stuck, I'm repeating myself on purpose. Do you not know, he says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel's prophesying about a temple he sees, that water flows from it. And wherever the water flows, brings life. Paul says, don't you know? You're now the channel. It's not the river in Eden. It's not the rock in the wilderness. It's you and me to the world around about us. This is just not just gentlemen here. I'm allowed to stand on this. I'll probably break something. I don't know. What's your name, sir? Travis. Travis. I just see something around you, man. I see life around you. I don't know if you've ever doubted or what have I got to bring, but I just see that there's a Christ in you that is so attractive to the people you encounter. You're going to more and more have people come up to you and say, man, what's he got? I see something. What's he feeding on? What's he drinking on? I want some of that stuff. I just believe that God wants to raise your faith level to believe where you go, His power goes, His river goes to touch the people around about your life. Father God, I just pray for Travis right now. Lord, not give him more life. Lord, give him a revelation of the life that's already in him. Let him see that, God, it's not about a person on a platform. It's where he goes day in and day out. Father, unplug that well, I pray. Unplug that spring in Jesus' mighty name. Why don't you stand with me this morning, and we're just going to wind this up because I've got a minute and a half. Have a listen. Let's go to it again. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man became a life-giving spirit. A life-giving spirit. You know, as I started to mull on these thoughts, I really did have to ask myself the question, how's my bubble? How much have I plugged up the well of God in my life? How much have I let the ways of the world, how much have I let disappointments, how much have I let my own concerns stop me from believing that inside me is a well? Inside me is a spring. Inside me is something that God wants to use me to flow out and touch a hurting world. Still got to go about my business, still got to do my work, still got to do all those things. But for me, just as I'm preparing, I'm just saying, God, what have I let? What have I let stop me? Is it really a spring? Is it really bubbling up all the time? Is it really wherever I go? Do I sense that you want to touch people's lives, that you love people so much that you would use me to be life to them, that to partake of the life-giving spirit that you placed within me? Just across this room, why don't we close our eyes right now? Life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit. People here today that in some ways you say, well, I'm tired of the church thing. Well, come to church to get filled up. Come to church to let God uncork the spring. Start to see yourself as not just one who comes to church, but one who carries a life-giving spirit. See yourself right now, wherever you go this week, where do you go to sport, do you go to school, do you go to university, do you go to work? I want you to right now picture yourself, I'm a river, I'm a spring, God's built his spirit in me, and I'm a spring. Father, right now I pray across this room, right now, I want you to picture people now, don't just picture places. Picture people in your world that don't know Christ, or people that are hurting right now. Right now, people who are hurting. People whose lives you're likely to encounter this week. Can you see yourself being a representative of Christ? A river, a spring of life. A spring of life that Jesus says will flow and will never run dry. Father God, use us, we pray. Use us, we pray. There might be people in this room right now today that you've never drunk of this one called Christ. You've never received Christ. You have never even maybe known who Christ is. You might think he's some religious being somewhere. I want to tell you here this morning, Jesus Christ is the life giver. He is the one who came and gave his own life that I might live. He was the one that gave his own life so that I may be forgiven of all of my wrongs and I may drink of him. That which stopped me from drinking of him was my sin. He came and paid the price for my sin that I may drink of him, that I may receive a quenching of my thirst, that the ways of this world that had left me thirsty, the things that had left me hungry, the things that had left me questioning, they were answered because I met this person called Jesus Christ, and he's here right now. He's here right now. And if you're thirsty in this place, if you're thirsty for the life of God, if the life of this world has left you dry, the life of Christ awaits you here this morning. And if that's you, you just need to reach out in your spirit. You need to reach out in your heart and say, Jesus, I need to drink of you. Like that woman at the well, life has left me dry. I might drink physical water, but I'll thirst again. Jesus, I want this water that will never run dry. This morning, that's a promise to you this morning. If you reach out to him, if you reach out to him, he'll bring life to you, eternal life to you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.